brother.
Fine, brother. What better way can a man invest his time when springtime comes?
That scum of a Spaniard fought like a butcher.
And this Spanish gentleman is an expert with a sword. It's this kind of opponent that makes battle exhilarating.
Today's story is a true story. The story of a man born to battle. A dashing young nobleman who had the military world, the resplendent court of France at his feet. He had achieved all the honors that the world had to offer, and found that all the world had to offer offered him nothing. The man, Gaspard de Coligny.
Transcribed from Greenville in South Carolina, Bob Jones University presents Miracles.
It was April 1544, the time of year when young men went off to war. It was the aftermath of battle, and the field was Cerisol. The French forces had gallantly forced back the Spanish troops. Gaspard de Coligny and his brother Dandolo leaned on their swords and surveyed the bloody field.
Good fight, brother Dandolo.
Good fight to you too, Gaspar. I was watching you with that down Spaniard, the good swordsman. You were enjoying yourself.
That I was. What's more exciting than the heat of battle?
Gaspar! Dandolo!
Yes, sir.
I watched the two of you fighting. I never saw the like. You seem born to the battle. Oh, what amuses you?
Well, you sound exactly like our beloved mother. She's always said we were born to battle.
For the kind of fighting you two did today, you should no longer be called officer, but knight.
Well, thank you, sir.
Does it not amaze you, sir, that my genteel, courtly brother, with his courtier's manners, is also such a fighter?
Well, his tongue is not typical of that of the field. But courtier or soldier, your courage will not go another hour without recognition. Kneel.
Here?
Now?
And now. For gallantry on the field of battle, you, Dandolo Coligny, and you, Gaspard Coligny, fully cognizant of the responsibilities and vows which rest upon those called knight, are dubbed knight.
In 1522, the head of an ancient noble house in France, the seigneur Chatillon Cerillon, passed away. No doubt his heart ached for his small boys who would be left fatherless. Little could he dream that those three small boys would all become eminent in French history, and more important, though reared in the Roman faith, they would all become prominent in the French Reformation and become heroes of the Christian faith.
Madame de Coligny found it difficult to rear her boys as gentlemen, for even as children, they loved to fight.
Thrust and parry. Thrust and parry.
If Mama catches us, we'll be sorry.
Ouch! Ooh, that hurt.
You young gentlemen, you stop that this instant. You are to be studying your Latin verbs.
But Mama...
No arguments, young man. Always fighting and playing at fighting. You sit down and review those verbs.
Yes.
You must remember who you are. You are the sons of a great house. Your father was a member of a great French house, and I am the daughter of the Montmorency. And though you have no father, you're going to remember who you are and be prepared to take your position in life.
Gaspard Coligny was the second son and was born at Châtillon-sur-Léon on February 16, 1517. He seemed born to the military, but was a man of gentle ways, which seemed to belie his military genius. When he was just 22, he went to court.
Go, That Jaspar de Tourigny, he saved the bravest man on the battlefield France has ever known.
He does not seem so brave in court life.
He doesn't seem to like the frivolity. He and Duke de Guise, look at them. They sit and look solemn and discuss the affairs of the state.
Perhaps he isn't a courteous thing, but he's very handsome and dashing. I'm going to ask him, sadly of course, where the next stand.
Coligny's military life seemed to have a Midas touch. Everything he did turned to his advantage. He served nobly in the later wars of Francis I against Spain.
In 1544, he served in the Italian campaign under the Prince of Conde. Finally, he was appointed Colonel General of the Infantry and displayed good sense and capacity as a military reformer. The rules he initiated became the basis of the French military code.
In 1552, he was nominated by Henry II to be Admiral of France, and in such a position held great power and prestige, second only to the Constable of France.
In 1554, Gaspar Coligny contributed to the victory at Ronty. Here he quarreled bitterly with his heretofore friend, the Duke de Guise, and became an implacable and bitter enemy.
I will destroy Gaspar de Coligny completely. I will bide my time and wait until my opportunity comes.
In 1557, Coligny was instructed to defend Saint-Quentin, besieged by the Spaniards. He displayed great courage and resolution, but in 1557, he was defeated and taken prisoner.
This will mean a medal for us. I cannot think of anyone our commander would rather have had us capture.
He's such a valiant officer. I almost pity him.
Well, he's a great feather in our cap. Ah, here he comes. Señor Coligny.
At your service, monsieur.
You are very confident, my friend. Perhaps you will not be so confident when you have spent some time deep in one of our prisons.
Indeed, you are famous for your prisons. You will find out, sir. The ransom we are asking of your government is to be of such staggering proportions that you will rot in our dungeon.
Gaspar Coligny was 40. His countrymen loved him for his warm personality and gentle ways. But when he was put under guard and thrust deep into the confines of a foul Spanish prison, for the first time he grew restless. There was so much time. Time to do nothing. Time only to think.
You wear out your boots, Pacey. There'll be no new ones to replace them here.
Well, stay and talk.
I'm not supposed to, but I hear you pacing in the night.
I'm a man of the field. I find forced inactivity difficult. Why, if only the ransom would come.
They'll have to value you highly to ever pay that kind of ransom. There was another prisoner here, a scholarly man. He had many books. He died.
The books? Where are they?
I have them outside. They mean nothing to me. I can't read French.
Would you bring them to me?
I see no harm in that. No good to me, no harm.
Perhaps some good can come from this. Perhaps some good.
Of course, Gaspar Coligny did not know it, but during the time he was imprisoned, his gallant brother Dandolo had become converted to Christ and had joined the French Protestants, known as the Huguenots. While Gaspar read and studied to pass the long hours of forced idleness, his brother prayed for him.
I brought you some more candles.
Oh, thank you. The supply is burning low.
At least now you don't have to keep me awake pacing at night.
Now, I've been studying, reading these books. I've been trying to figure out what my relationship is to God. Do you know? About yourself, I mean?
I obey the dictates of the church.
Oh, but here in this prison, I cannot go to the services. I cannot have a priest to intercede for me. Do you not think I might go directly to God in my own behalf here?
That I cannot answer. Good night to you.
Yes, good night. I wonder if my prayers would be heard by God without the intercession of a priest. Oh, I must study. I must find the answer.
While Coligny lay buried in the Spanish prison, negotiations were being made for his release. Finally, he was ransomed at the staggering sum of 50,000 crowns.
When he returned to France, he talked seriously with his brother Dandolo regarding the decisions he had made while in prison.
Huguenots? What are Huguenots?
We believe that man is a fallen creature. We call man's condition total depravity, and that nothing we can do in ourselves can help us to God.
Amazing.
It's all of grace through faith.
Incredible.
What?
I believe the same. I came to that conclusion during my imprisonment while I was studying. I went directly to God in prayer for my needs. Well, he answered my prayers, because I'm free now.
And now that you are free, do you still believe you may go directly to God yourself?
I'm inclined to believe I can.
God's ways are strange. That is why I have joined the Huguenots. I have become convinced that it is through Christ that we make our peace with God, not through the church.
I believe that too.
I have come to Christ. I have asked his forgiveness for my sins, and I have enlisted as his soldier with the Huguenots.
And without my knowing it, in my heart, I've made the same decision. Why, I didn't even know what I was called. But I, too, am a Huguenot.
After Coligny's conversion, he resigned all of his appointments, preferments, and honors, except the nominal rank of admiral. He retired to his family estates, where he spent his time in fervent devotion, study, and at long last, in the enjoyment of a happy family life.
But this was not to be his for long, for the soldier of France was soon to be called upon to be a soldier for his heavenly king.
Next week's episode will deal with Gaspar Coligny, a soldier for Christ.
Panosian and Bill Moose were heard as Gaspar and Dandolo Coligny. Others in the cast were Gene Merrill, Charles Bierman, John Daugherty, Dick Rupp, Joyce Brandon, Lois Veet, Lila Lehman, and Bruce Batiste. Sound effects were handled by Jim Robb and Jim Hill. Recording engineer was Corbin Tapler. Today's script was written by Doris Harris and directed by Laura Pratt. This is Bob Verzal. Miracles is a transcribed Bob Jones University production.